We're doing the book of Shmuel, and we're up to what's called the second chapter. We had learned how Avner ben Ner had taken Ishbosheth, who's 40 years old, he's Saul's son, and he takes him first to the eastern side of the Jordan, over here to the area of Gilad, and then he anoints him as king, and then he extends the territory to the Ashur, and then Ashur is probably Yisrael, which is around here. So we have an extension running through the northern section of Israel, where Ishbosheth is king. And then it extends all the way south on the eastern side of the Jordan. And then it extends down to Benjamin on the western side of the Jordan, which basically means David is king over Judea, the southern part of Israel. And Ishbosheth is king over the northern part of Israel, the majority of the tribes. So David has the south with the tribe of Judea, and Ishbosheth has the north and the eastern side of the Jordan. And with that, Ishbosheth is king. We're in what's called the second chapter. Shmuel, what the Christians call Shmuel B.
Historically, in this time, the northern kingdom was a lot more rich and green, wealthy, right?
Well, there wasn't really northern and southern kingdom. This lasted for either 2 years or 7 years. This was a very short time period. This was very short.
This isn't the exile of the ten tribes.
No, this is not. Okay. So they gather in a place called Givon, and we learned how they were by a stream, and Avner sees the huge force with which sees the huge force with which Avner came, and Yoav is not interested in war. And then Avner, who is the chief general of Ishbosheth, tells Yoav, Yoav is David's nephew, Avner is Ishbosheth's cousin, so both generals are relatives of the king. And Avner tells Yoav, let's let the lads play. They each send 10 people forward. And we have 12 people forward. And then they each grab one another. And they, as we ended last time, they each stab the other one to death. Neither one is focused on defending themselves. Each one is focused on killing the other. You have 24 people dropping dead. And with that, war breaks out. And we're in what's called the second chapter of what's called Samuel B.
Of what's called Samuel.
No, it is the book of Shmuel. The Christians divided it into Shmuel A and Shmuel B, and they gave it these chapters. So even though Yoav was severely outnumbered, he is victorious at war, and Avner is on the run. Avner and his men are running, and Yoav, the chief general, has a younger brother named Asael. And Asael, he could run like a deer. You couldn't stop him.
Is he from Naphtali?
No, they're from tribe Yehuda. They're David's relatives. So, the truth is, I don't know who his father was from. His mother was Tzruyas. I don't know what tribe he was from. And Avner is running, and he looks behind him, and he sees Asael. And Avner turns around and he asks him, hey, is that you, Asael? He says, yep. Avner says, do me a favor. There are a lot of other people to fight. Go, you want to make money? You want to grab someone's armor? Kill someone else? And Asael won't leave him. Asael is going for the big kill. If he could catch the general, if he could catch Avner, that's what he wants. And Avner begs him. He says, why should I kill you? How will I ever be able to face your brother Yoav? Do me a favor, leave me be. And Asael refuses.
How does he have this whole conversation while he's charging?
Have you ever seen a movie?
Could be hid behind a tree, you know. He ran to a tree. Or he'd turn around and extend his sword, and Asael would stop. And, you know, they'd spar a little, and as they were sparring, he'd tell him, and then he'd continue running. And Asael refuses. And so Avner is a seasoned warrior. And as he's running, there was the point of the spear. And then the back of the spear was also, the back of the handle also had a sharp edge, because very often they'd stick it in the ground. They'd stick in the handle in the ground. So that also had an edge which was a little bit sharpened. And so what Avner does is, as Asol is running after him, when Asol is not prepared, he sticks back the spear into Asol's fifth rib. He aims it exactly at where the gallbladder is hanging. That's what a seasoned warrior he is. That with one shot, he could stick it into Asol and kill him. On the spot, Asol drops dead. Now this was a tactic. Right. This was a tactic. That's what's called hitting the fifth rib in Tanakh, where they knew exactly where to hit a person, and the person would drop dead on the spot. Wow. And Yoav will never forgive him for this. So whenever other warriors would come running, they'd see Asol dead, they'd stop in their tracks, because Asol was such a great warrior. But Yoav and his brother Avishai, they don't give up. They know the third brother, Asol, was just killed by Avner. They keep running. The sun sets, and in those days, you really didn't want to fight a war at night. You couldn't see what you were doing. But they're not giving up. The tribe of Benjamin reunites after Avner, and they're standing on top of a hilltop. And Avner is charging with his men, and Yoav is charging with his men. And Avner calls out to Yoav, and he says, Do you want to kill forever? Don't you know it's all going to be bitter in the end? We're all Jews. Till when will you keep killing other Jews? When will you tell the people to stop killing their brothers? And Yoav says, I swear by God, you started this war. If you wouldn't have started this morning, I wasn't interested. We met and I was ready to retreat. You started the war. Yoav blows the shofar and he announces that everyone, his men, should stop the attack. And Avner and his men regroup. Now all night long, they're not confident as to whether Yoav will really pause the attack. So they're traveling all night long. And Yoav regathers his men. They take a count. And they see that they've only lost 19 men in the Asael, who was as great as all 19. The tribe of Benjamin, the men of Avner, lost 360 men, which is a very bad blow because, again, remember the tribe of Benjamin only a few decades earlier numbered 600 men. So for them to lose 360 men was a very serious blow. They took Asael.
Do we take that number literally?
I think so. They took Asael and they buried him. And Yoav was also wary of Avner. Just like Avner didn't trust Yoav that he wouldn't surprise him, Yoav wasn't about to trust Avner either. So they're both running through the night in opposite direction. Avner is running to Machanaim. Yoav is running back to Hebron, back south to Judean territory. And from that point onward, there are spats here and there. And every time, David's men are victorious. At this point, the Navi takes a pause and recounts the children that David had. As Avner keeps gaining political clout within Ishbosheth's camp, Ishbosheth calls over Avner and says, you know, I'm uncomfortable. My father had a concubine, Ritzpah Vat Ayah. Remember that name, because at the end of the book of Shmuel, we will encounter her again, a very pious woman. And Ishbosheth calls over Avner and says, you know, you're a very good general, but you're not the king here. And word has it that you've been sleeping with my father's concubine. Now, that's prohibited. Only a king can marry another king's widow. So you can't do this. And Avner says, you trust rumors and you dare come against me? After everything I've done for you, I'd be better off being with Judea. What nerve to come and come to claims against me? You know, I've been so nice to you. I didn't give you over into David's hand. And now you come to me with claims like that? Forget it. We're done. Today I will transfer the whole kingdom to David. And you will see that from this point onward, David will rule from Dan to Beersheba. Now that's how we began class. We said whenever we draw a map, we have to know the basics. So if we're looking at the land of Israel, the tribe of Dan has two territories. One in central Israel, a little bit north, and the other one all the way to the north. The tribe of Dan captured over here, the area where the Jordan really begins north of the Kinneret. The Jordan flows down into the Kinneret. If we're drawing a map of the land of Israel, the way I recommend starting is you draw on the left side the Mediterranean, what's called Hayam HaGadol in Tanakh. You draw on the right side, on the eastern side, this round Kinneret. The line that goes down from it is the Jordan into the Yam HaMelech. You go from the Yam HaMelech, the northern tip of the Yam HaMelech, a little bit to your left, a third of the way, you draw Jerusalem. You go all the way to the top, you have Dan over here. You go down south and to the left, you have Beersheba. And that's why when we speak about all of Israel, we say from Dan to Beersheba. That's a way of describing all of Israel. We said, you take the northern tip of the Kinneret, and you run across to the Mediterranean. You draw a dot there for Haifa, a drop north of that is Akko. You go much north of that, you have Tzor, the famous city of Tzor, Tyre. Okay? So that's Israel. If we want an outline, just so we're starting, I want you guys to learn the map. And I recommend bring a piece of paper, and every Sunday we'll draw a little bit more of the map. So we get frequent, so we start familiarizing ourselves with the map. Again, just a second. Again, we have the Kinneret. We start our map on the right side with the Kinneret, the Jordan going down from that to the Yam HaMelech. On the left side, on the west, we have the Yam HaGadol. We take the northern tip of the Yam HaMelech. We go a third into the land of Israel. We draw Jerusalem. We take the northern tip of the Kinneret, go across to the Mediterranean, and draw ourselves Haifa. We go north of the Kinneret. We draw a little bit for Dan and Laish. That's the north. We go down south. After the southern tip of the Yam HaMelech, we go left, two-thirds of the way, to the Yam HaTichon, and we draw Be'er Sheva. And with that, we have the beginning of a map. We've drawn the major bodies of water, we've drawn north, we've drawn south, we've drawn the middle of Jerusalem, and we'll elaborate as we move on. Okay, so that's practice, guys. Get it by next week so you know it. No, I'm serious. Take a piece of paper, draw it. I don't know. I don't know. The yeshiva is Gush. The yeshiva of Gush has a virtual library of source materials. Yeah, source materials for learning Tanakh. Okay, so Avner says, I will transfer the whole kingdom from Dan to Beersheba to David's hands. Now, Ishbosheth can't answer Avner. He knows full well that Avner is the chief general and people are loyal to him. Avner sends word to David and he says, I want to make a treaty with you. I will now help you and turn all of the people of Israel to your side. What would we expect David to answer? Great. Great. What does David say? He says, I'll be happy to make a pact with you. But one thing, I don't want to meet you before you bring me my wife, Michal, the daughter of Shaul. Now this can be viewed as a political tactic. He's saying, if you really believe I should be king, then I'm entitled to my wife, the daughter of Saul, the daughter of the king, I'm entitled to have her back. This can be viewed as a very pious tactic, where David says, before I worry about my kingdom, I have to worry about my family. I haven't had my wife for 7 years, bring me back my wife. And here we see the greatness of David, that at this pivotal juncture where other people would say, let me take over the throne and then of course I'll get my wife back. David says, no, there's nothing to talk about the throne. If you really are intent that I'm the righteous heir of the throne, then bring me back my wife first. And David sends word to Ishbosheth. He says, do me a favor, give me back my wife Michal. Because your father was in error. I was legally engaged to her. You remember David meant to engage her with the foreskins he brought Saul. Saul thought he meant to engage her with all the wealth that he was owed. And that's why an engagement that's done through a debt is not legal. It doesn't take legal standing. David says, I wasn't engaging her with the debt. I was engaging her with the physical foreskins I brought. So that's... They are Shaveh Pruta because you could use them as dog food or firewood. So Ishbosheth, who is very pious, takes the summons her and he sends her back. And Palti ben Laish over here, the Navi changes his name, calls him Palti El. Our sages say he was extraordinarily pious. Palti el, he had the strength to be polet, to escape sin. Here he was living alone with this woman in the house for 7 years. No one would have known what happened there. And he put a sword in the middle of the house and said, I don't approach your side of the house, you don't approach my side of the house. This sword symbolizes that anyone who has a thought to transgress should be hit by the sword, even though her father, the king of Israel, says, legally she's yours. Palti says, I don't think that's the halacha. No. So he weeps as she leaves. He had brought her up. He had taken good care of her, but he had respected her privacy. And with that, Michal comes back to her husband, David. Avner tells the elders, you always wanted David as king. Let's do it now, because God has appointed David as our leader. And look, he's always the one saving us from the hands of the Philistines. And he even goes to the tribe of Benjamin and tries to convince them that it's in your best interest to have David as king. And then Avner comes to David. He brings with him 20 men. And David prepares a party for him. And Avner tells David, let me gather everyone together. We'll make a pact, establish you as king, and you'll see you'll rule over all of Israel. And David sends Avner out in peace. Yoav comes back, and Yoav was not present when David made this pact with Avner. Yoav has a burning enmity for Avner. Avner killed his brother. And Yoav comes back. He has a lot of loot. He's been super successful in his military campaigns. And he hears that Avner was there. And he runs into David and says, what'd you do? Avner was here. How'd you let him go? Don't you know he came here to seduce you? Avner came to check out where you live, how you live, how he could attack the city. He wanted to know what your plans are. And he had no innocent plan when he came here. He was up to no good. David doesn't answer him. David doesn't owe him an answer. David's the king. Yoav's his general. Yoav walks out, and behind David's back, he sends messengers to Avner. And he tells him, you are hereby called back to David's home. Avner gets word, and Yoav's sincere intent right now is to kill Avner. We are on the verge of a breakthrough. The people of Israel, after years of fighting, can finally have peace. And at this pivotal juncture, Yoav sends word to Avner and says, wait, before you gather everyone, you're called back. Avner turns around, and he's a seasoned warrior. He's no dummy. He starts heading back. And this is where we'll pick up, as Hashem, next week.